Welcome to the Cricket Weekly Podcast, guys, with Adam and Nabil. Today's pod, we are talking about cricket versus baseball. Nabil, what do we got going on tonight? Cricket versus baseball.
Cricket versus baseball, Adam. We're making this video for our American viewers. If you've ever wondered what a wicket is, what a googly is, or just what the heck, why the games last for 5 days, right? You're in the right place. And Adam and I are going to try and break down a few things for you guys here tonight. Hope you guys are all excited. And, any questions, drop it into the comments for us. We're going to, break this down in four separate sections for you guys. This is the basics, guys. So we're going to get into more in depth later down the line in following episodes. But today, the basics, we're going over field and equipment, innings and outs. We're going over runs and scoring, and we're going over strategy and duration. So Adam, let's start right from the first one, man. Field and equipment.
So yeah, the biggest things that Americans need to know, the difference between baseball and cricket, is a cricket is played on an oval. So think about it like more of an NFL stadium that's shaped more like a circle rather than being a complete rectangle. It's that same feel of being like longer one way and kind of shorter on the other way. Unlike the baseball diamond, which the baseball fans are accustomed to, where really the game is being played on one end, like we'll call it the bottom of the field, and all the stadium is kind of built behind the back of where the batter is. In cricket, the play is actually happening right in the center of the stadium and right in the center of the oval, basically on the 50-yard line where they'll be playing the NFL. So that's the biggest thing, is that it's a much bigger field. It's a much bigger stadium, and the action is taking place in the middle, rather than playing really close to the spectators like it is in baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's the mound itself, right? In baseball, the playing surface has a pitching mound where the pitcher in cricket obviously has to bowl from a flat surface. So the surface itself is flat, right? And when it comes to the comparison between the bat, right? Bat between cricket bat and a baseball bat. As you can see behind me, a cricket bat I've put up here from Janoon Sports. Shout out to Janoon Sports there. If you're looking for any equipment, cricket equipment, their shop is in Brooklyn. Check them out. But a cricket bat is flat and a baseball bat's obviously round, Adam. So, some differences obviously that matter when it comes to hitting. Obviously, you're hitting with a different bat, right? Round and a flat. So for a batter, how different it is to hit in baseball or in cricket as opposed to comparison to baseball?
Yeah, so the bats is the big thing. You know, when Americans think of cricket, they're going to say, you guys play with a paddle, right? The bigger bat. And yeah, so the cricket bat is bigger than a baseball bat in surface area, so the front part of the bat. So you can see, like on Nabil's screen, the cricket bat is actually wider than a baseball bat. But from the side profile, it's actually the same thickness that direction. Yeah, so that the thickness is the same thickness as a baseball bat. So what we look at in cricket, even though the bat is much wider, there is still a sweet spot. And baseballers are familiar with the sweet spot. The sweet spot is still the center core of the bat, similar to the same size of the baseball bat. That middle third of the bat is really the sweet spot. Plus, when you turn the bat on the side, you're going to see the biggest portion of the bat on the back is really right there. That's the sweet spot from the back perspective. So the misconception around batting and cricket being, oh, it's easier to hit a ball. It's easier to hit a cricket ball because it's bigger, which is true. It is easy to technically make contact with the ball, but in the same respect that baseballers have to hit the ball in the middle of the baseball bat to hit a home run, It's similar in cricket. If you hit the ball on the edge of your bat, it's not going to go all the way for a six. So with the equivalent home run in baseball, you still have to get the ball and time the ball in the sweet spot in the middle of the bat. So if it comes off the edge, you're just going to get a sky ball or a fly out, similar to using baseball terms there. So the hand-eye coordination is much similar, The more difficult part of the cricket experience is that the ball is bouncing first. And the transition from baseball to cricket is having to learn how to hit the ball with a bat that bounces.
Yeah. Yeah. The playing surface makes the biggest difference, right? That's one of the biggest differences in cricket and baseball, is that the ball has to bounce off the surface. So the surface that the match is being played on for cricket really matters, right? Because at the start of the game, there's going to be a toss between the two captains. The winning captain will decide if they want to bat or field first. And mostly that decision is based on the types of surface that they're playing on. If the surface offers some, juice and it has some green tinge of grass on it, more than likely the ball, will seam and swing, and, the captain might want to take advantage of their faster pitchers early on before that juice may dry up. So in certain senses, you make that decision based on the playing surface. So that playing surface is one of the key things in cricket, and it can matter on your playing 11, what type of your team makeup is depending on the surface. So, that's how it works when it comes to, the field itself and the playing surface. Now, the equipment itself, we've discussed the bat here, Adam, and the ball I have here. It's a hard one round seam cricket ball. And in addition to it, we have hand gloves, which are padded gloves. I wish I had them to show you off. It's in my kit bag out into the car. But, pads as well. Padded pads for your legs, gloves, and obviously a cup, right? We don't want to miss that. So
DP, as we call it in Australia, the DP.
Yeah,
we can put that in the chat. You guys, that's an acronym for something. You guys can figure that out in the chat. DP, guys. So yeah, and the helmet. So you always have to think about it like it's almost like a hockey. Like you think about it when you play field hockey or ice hockey. It looks like you're the goalkeeper. Like you've got all the pads on and the big grill helmet on. And this is because in cricket, you are likely to get hit with the ball because it's not illegal to hit the batter. It's actually sometimes encouraged to you're aiming it at the batter, and the ball can come at any direction, at your head, at your feet, at your legs, at your hip, behind you, in front of you. And you want to be safe. If when that ball is coming in, even in, grade cricket, it's coming in at 85 miles an hour. Yeah. You don't want that ball hitting you in the shin. It's going to break your shin or bust a kneecap or, even copping one, in the inner thigh. That hurts. Yeah. It leaves a huge bruise, And obviously the helmet part is, for the batter's safety because, getting a ball to the head, can cause death. Even serious injury, including death. Yeah. That's happened, in Australia, and
rest
around
in
the world.
Peace, Phil Hughes.
Yeah. Phil Hughes. And that's such an unfortunate thing to happen.
Yeah.
And since that, actual death, in a actual game, they actually changed something to do with the helmet. They actually now put an extra piece at the back of the helmet because, unfortunately, it was struck underneath the helmet, more towards the back of the neck area. It is quite dangerous playing cricket, and you need to have those protective pads and gloves and helmet to make sure you don't get hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. As Adam said, in baseball, the pitcher, unless they're intending to hit you, which just happens sometimes in baseball, right? But more often than not, they're looking to hit that strike zone. In cricket, a pitcher, as Adam mentioned, is they have to bowl that line of the ball where it's in their body line, because they have one form of dismissal is LBW, which is leg before wicket. So they're looking to hit you on the legs in front of the three sticks, because it's a form of dismissal. If they do that without having to hit their bat on the ball, they're out. They get hit on the pads, and they're bound to get hit on the head or on the body. So there's chest guards, elbow guards, thigh guards. There's all sorts of protection in cricket, as opposed to baseball, where you're just having a helmet, maybe an elbow guard. I've seen, and a shin guard, and that's really it for the foul balls. You wear a shin guard in baseball, right? But and a cup perhaps, but that's really it.
One of the things that is another reason for the protective gear is in cricket, you're hitting the ball in a 360-degree area. Unlike baseball, you're hitting in the V, right? And you're expecting the ball to be coming outside of your body. Yeah. Now, in cricket, we would call that outside the off stump. everything is going to be coming outside of your body, outside the off stump. Where in cricket, you're actually, the ball may actually be tracking directly towards your body, and you're going to actually be hitting it kind of into the foul zone behind third base. So because of that, you need to be able to have some sort of protection. If you miss the ball, which is, you know, it's likely, it's possible, then instead of, you know, you getting hit in the face, you know, you've got the helmet there to protect you, because you are hitting a ball that's coming directly at your body, and you're trying to time it as best you can to guide it down to mid wicket or third man or wherever you're trying to hit the ball, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, man. You can hit 360, and you know, some say cricket players are just too lazy, right? Because you know, they don't run bases, but we, you know, they have to make runs and hit the pitches around, you know, and not just stand and smack. Sometimes in baseball, I've seen guys that just stand and smack. But in cricket, I feel like there's a lot more to it than just stand and smack. You know, it's a lot of manipulation of the field, a lot of manipulation of, you know, what's going on, what plans the opposite team captain setting for you. And then you have to, you know, come up with a counterattack plan to deal with it. So cricket is very like cat and mouse, like a chess game, right? As opposed to, I mean, baseball itself, it is as well. But the leadership wise and the way the course of the game actually takes shape is in the hands of the captains that are on the field, right? So the fielding side, the player out of the 11, the captain is the one making the calls, as opposed to baseball, the manager of that particular team, or the skipper, as they call them, right? The managers are the ones calling the shots, not a particular player. In cricket, it's the player that's been chosen as the captain. He's the one who calls the shots. So that's the one big major difference. And you want to add anything there, Adam? You know, when it comes to captaincy and changes?
Yeah, that's one of the unique things about cricket, is unlike a lot of American sports, like you consider baseball and the NFL, where the coach or the manager is making the decisions on when the pitcher's coming in or what play they're going to run. That doesn't happen in cricket. In cricket, the coach is hands off in the actual game time. And it's the captain or the skipper, as we call them. They're making the decisions on the field. They're picking the bowlers. They're setting the field. And it's a quite different dynamic where you're really the captain really matters. Who you have in that position is really fundamental if you're going to win or lose a game, because you could win or lose a game off a bad decision or a bad call or a bad set of tactics from your captain. So that's a really key thing, because it really takes it out of the manager's hand. And when you think about like the politics around sports, we don't have in cricket that really big, like, oh, the coach or the manager made a big mistake, or because they can't. It's really on, it's everyone on the field that's making all the decisions rather than the coach.
Yeah. It's not like you're getting any messages from the outside, hey, do this, or, you know, getting calls. It's just, once you're out into the battle, it's like just those players against each other, and coaches can really just sit back and watch. You know, that's really all they can do in that position. So that was our section on field and equipment. And if you guys have any questions, you know, drop it into the comments. We want to, you know, make sure we answer all of you guys' questions. This is for our American friends that, you know, want to learn cricket, understand cricket. We're going to be going over a bunch of other things in the next few episodes. Today, we're going over the basics, and we've just gone over the field and equipment section. This next section is innings and outs, Adam. So now let's talk, you know, about innings in baseball, where you get nine, you know, unless the matches or the game is tied, and then you can go into the extra innings, as opposed to cricket, where you get one innings or two innings if they're playing test cricket.
Absolutely. So, the most popular form that we're seeing now here in the U.S. is the T20 cricket. And you can either think of it in two ways. You can think of it as one innings each, where you just, everyone bats one time and then, you know, the other team bats. Or you can think of it as like 20 mini innings, because there's 20 overs. So this brings up, what is an over? So an over is simply six balls or six pitches pitched by one bowler from one end of the pitch. Now in cricket, instead of having like baseball, you have the one pitcher that's going to stay on the pitching mound and may pitch for five, six innings. In cricket, you only get six balls per bowler per time, and that we call that an over. And once the over is complete, the next bowler will pitch from the opposite end of the pitch or the wicket. So, and for a little bit of dimensionally, you can think about the same distance from the pitching mound to home plate is the same distance from the stump to the stump in cricket. So when the bowler releases the ball in cricket, he's releasing it from the same distance away from the batter as he does in baseball. And then at the end of the over, once he bowls his six balls, a new bowler will bowl from where home plate is, you consider it like that, and then there would be another batter that would be the non-striker or the on-deck batter would be standing on the pitcher's mound or in cricket at the other end of the wicket. So that's the overs. And in T20, it's just 20 overs per side, and then the next team comes in for their 20 overs.
Yeah, yeah. So the shorter formats is like the T20 and the 50 over formats, right? So the T20 format is 120 pitch per side or 10 outs, whichever the fielding team achieves first. Same thing with a 50 over, it's 10 outs or 300 pitches. So that match, it takes about 8 to 10 hours, the 50 over cricket, 20 over cricket, maybe 3 to 4 hours. And then we have test cricket where there's two innings per side. So each team gets to bat twice, and the higher cumulative score at the end of 5 days, you know, wins the match. Essentially, they play three sessions per day of 30 overs each session. So about 90 overs on average, they'll get to bowl per day from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Usually they're very strict on time, the umps. And, you know, that's how test cricket works. So those are three separate formats, you know, we've talked about. But innings and outs, we want to stay here, right? So 10 outs we've discussed for cricket. And that's just one inning. Once they're done, whatever the team has up on the board, the other team goes into bat and they have to score one more run. So that's for, you know, cricket. And then baseball, obviously, it's 9 innings, 3 outs until they actually achieve the outs. What else?
Yeah, so if you talk about the outs, so how to get out. So the ways to get out, obviously, the main way to get out is what we call bowled. And that is when the ball actually physically hits the stump. So the three sticks in the ground. So this is the equivalent of getting struck out. So instead of baseball, I like to call it as an imaginary zone that the ball is trying to get pitched into. In cricket, there's no imagination there. It's all physically. There's three physical sticks in the ground with two bales on top, two little pieces of wood on top called bales. So the bowler is actually trying to physically hit those the stumps there. And if the batter misses the ball and it hits them, then he's out. And in cricket, you only get one chance. You only get one at bat. You can stay in and bat as long as you don't get out. And you can keep accumulating runs until you get out or until the amount of overs is finished. So the first way, the first way to get out is bowled. The second way to get out is just like in baseball, you can actually get out caught. So if you hit the ball in the air, a fielder can catch the ball. But unlike in baseball, cricketers don't wear any gloves or mitts. It's just bare hands. There's no assistant there. There's just bare hands, no gloves. The only person on the field in cricket that wears a glove is the keeper, similar to a catcher. He actually wears two gloves that have a little bit of a webbing in between the fingers to help, you know, catch the ball. And he actually stands much further back than a traditional baseball keeper. The wicket keeper will only stand up right next to the batter when there is spin bowling or slower bowling. But normally he's actually standing 60 feet back from the stumps to try to catch the ball as it's on its way back down from bouncing. So that is the two ways. Now, Nabil, you want to get us on the LBW?
Yeah, I can get you on the LBW. Essentially, you know, LBW is when you get hit in front of the three stumps on your pads. So the batter, you know, if he gets hit on his pads and he's in line with the three sticks behind him, the ump in front of him will have to judge if he got hit right in front of those three sticks and have to judge that the ball could have been hitting those three sticks behind him if he was in there. Now, this has to happen without the batter nicking the ball, nicking it onto the pads. It has to be a clean hit on the pad, on the straight. And, you know, once it's hit and he's in line, the ump can call him out. So LBW is one way. And, you know, he has to get hit in line with the ball, in line in the stumps. So besides that, there's a run out. You know, run out is when you're essentially kind of like there's crease lines, kind of like bases onto the playing surface. And when a batter hits the ball, and has to leave that crease line, and the ball, let's say, gets thrown into the playing area or the pitch area, and one of the batters is not behind that line, and the fielding team takes off the stick or the bail on top of the stick, he's out if he's out of his playing playing area. So essentially, you have to stay within that line whenever the ball gets thrown into the playing surface area. So that's out and LBW.
Yeah, you can think about it like being tagged on base. That's probably the similar comparison to baseball, is that when you run, you're going to get tagged on base. When they throw the ball to first base, the first baseman has to have his foot on the bag and then have the ball in his hand. In cricket, the fielder has to take the ball in his hands and then knock the stumps over, break the bails with his hand, whilst before the batter gets his bat across the line. Now, the bat has to be behind the line. It can't be on the line. It has to be behind the line. And the batter can also be out if he's standing inside of his crease, and he can actually be stumped. So stumping is when he's actually inside of his crease or on his own base, and then he leaves his base to get to the pitch of the ball. He may take a shuffle or a step down the wicket to hit a spin bowler, and the ball beats his bat, and he misses the ball. The keeper, being at the stumps, can actually take the bails off also whilst his feet aren't in the crease, and he can be stumped, which is similar to a run out, but it's getting run out at your own end without running.
So absolutely. So those were some basic ones that we could go over. And there's other ways to get out, but I think we've gone over some of the basic ones, and we'll go more in depth in later videos. But so far we've discussed, two basic things in cricket. So we've discussed the field and the equipment. We've discussed the innings and outs between cricket and baseball. And if you guys have any questions, any thoughts into the comments, make sure you drop them. And I just got a comment from my nephew. He says, hello. So this is my sister's picture, but I know it's my nephew sending me a message from her account. But so he's on. I want to give a shout out to Big Nate here. Big Nate, he's been following us. So Nate, thanks for watching, man. Any questions, drop them in the comments. Guys, so now we're going to get into, runs and scoring. And before we do that, actually also check us out, on the reversecoop.com. You check out the store, you can purchase our merch and support youth cricket development at the grassroots level, partner with New Milford Cricket Club, to give back to the nonprofit work that they're doing to grow local cricket and grassroots cricket, working with the city of New Milford and Mayor Pete Bass of New Milford as well. So thank you to all those parties involved, and support the Reverse Scoop. So moving forward, Adam, runs and scoring, man. So in
runs sport, and scoring.
Yeah.
So the cool thing about cricket is the runs rack up really quick. So unlike in baseball, where the score may only be single digits, 3-4 or 6-2 or something like that. In cricket, you get scores of 100, 200, 300, 500 runs, depending on what format you're playing. So the best way to talk about this is, imagine when you're playing baseball and you actually make a single and get to first base, that would be considered one run. And if you were able to get to second base, that would be scored two runs. So in cricket, once you run to the other end, once you hit the ball and you actually cross paths with the other batter that you're batting with, and you get to first base or you get to the other end, that's going to count one run. And similarly, if you're able to hit the ball into the outfield enough for you to run back to where you were standing, that's going to be two runs. And if you run, you can run three. Generally, you're not going to run more than three. The only way you can really ever run four is if there's a misfield way out in the boundary and you're able to come back for a fourth run. But in saying that, when the ball goes all the way to the boundary rope, there generally is a rope around the ground that's a few feet in from the actual barricade of the stadium wall or the fence. Once it hits the boundary rope, then you're going to get 4 points. So you actually will be save your legs. You haven't got to run. You hit it hard enough and it's going to roll all the way to the boundary. You're going to get 4 points. If you hit a home run, like in baseball, you're going to hit it over the fence or over the rope on the full, you're actually going to get 6 points. So this is how the score tallies up quite fast and we get these bigger scores because we're getting 6 points for a home run and we're actually getting one run every time we make it to a base or make it past the crease at the other end.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, man. So, you know, I just got a comment and a question from Dune Big Nate. He said, do you guys follow baseball? What's your favorite team? Nate, big time Yankee fan, man. Since 2000, since year 2000, I would say. So almost 25 years of being a Yankee fan right here. And yeah, I don't know about you, Adam. You follow any team baseball?
Yeah, no. Yeah, when I first came here, I was made to be a Mets fan. So a little Subway Series action right there. Nice. But as of right now, I don't have any team that, supposed to be, rooting for or root for regularly. No, I could transfer over to the Yankees. It's you're the Mets or you're Yankees from where we are. There's no other team, that we could really root for. So it's one or the other.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Oh, Tampa Bay Rays all day. Come on, big man. Rays need a lot of work, man. Junior Caminero still not up. Their best prospect. So I don't know what they're doing. They're slacking, the Tampa Bay Rays. But yeah, the Yanks, man, all the way. So I think we've gone into runs and scoring. You talked about a little bit, Adam. We talked about some fours and sixes. You know, if the ball crosses along the line of the boundaries, it's four. If we hit it over the fence, you know, it's six runs in cricket. We can hit the ball 360. You know, they can run one run, two run, three runs, four runs. You know, so home runs in baseball versus baseball, you know, it's like six versus six in cricket, baseball and home run. But again, we're using a flatter bat as opposed to a rounder bat. So I think the difficulty level gets adjusted based on that we're hitting off the bounce. And in baseball, you're getting a flat, you know, beamer kind of a throw right in your zone to swing. So some differences, yes. You know, there.
Yeah, a couple of things on that. Yeah, you know, so when cricketers see baseball, we say, oh, that's a full toss. That's the word that we use to describe a baseball style pitch. When the ball doesn't bounce, we call that a full toss in cricket. We would call it a beamer when it comes directly at our head on the full as a full toss. In cricket, that actually is a no ball. If the ball is delivered to you above the waist high, yeah, on the full, it's actually an illegal ball in cricket. Yeah. And it's a point to the batting side. Yeah. And it's not a free hit. I don't believe the no ball is a free hit. They only get the free hit off the front foot, the front foot no ball. But in cricket, that is like bread and butter for a cricketer. A cricketer is waiting for that full toss ball to smash that ball. And it's one of the most bizarre things. Like when I first started watching baseball, all I can think of is like, how do you miss the ball? Because in cricket, you don't miss those full tosses. Those full tosses are what you're waiting on to smash. But it's obviously much harder to hit the bouncing ball. And in with that too, like missing the ball and the differences between cricket and baseball is that a cricket is actually picking where he's going to hit the ball in the milliseconds before the ball hits his bat. And the reaction time, I'm not sure, Nabil, if you know the reaction time, but it's about 0.4 of a second, 0.5 of a second is the reaction time for a batter in both baseball and cricket. And the difference between the batting swing is that the baseballer is basically has his one stock swing. He's winding up and he's hitting his swing, his one powerful swing. But in cricket, we don't have one swing. We have many swings. Yeah. There's many different shots to play, many different ways to play them. And you're in that 0.2 of a second after you've figured out where the ball is going, pitching, you're figuring out where you're going to play the ball. You're going to play it in front of square, behind square. You're going to go front foot. You're going to go back foot. You're going to hit it over the top. You're going to hit it on the ground. And it's a much different psychology and way of approaching hitting a ball than it is in baseball, where you're just trying to hit the ball straight in the V for a home run.
Absolutely. And, you know, with that, like, you know, we can get into strategy and you know, duration, because our fourth, you know, segment that we had prepared, you know, is strategy and duration. We've already gone over, you know, runs and scoring, innings and outs, and the field and equipment today. We've kept it very basic, you know, but talking about, you know, where the batter has to hit the ball, it's a lot of it's strategy, because the opposite team captain is going to have a plan for that batsman, you know, and he has to set the field, you know, of nine fielders accordingly based on who's pitching and where those pitchers' strengths are and where he's tend to get outs mostly, right? So, and he's going to give him a plan. Hey, you know, if you're going to pitch the ball up to the batter for him to hit him straight, then you got to have a fielder straight. You know, if you're going to bounce him out, then you got to have fielder deep on third man and fine leg. So just knowing those strategical moves as a batsman allows you to open up and read the game that, hey, these are my areas of scoring right now based on, you know, the plan of attack that the opposite captain has for me. So he could have two fielders straight. He could have a cover. He could have a mid wicket, and he could have a deep fine leg. So, and the guy could be bowling you length balls or, you know, things like that. So you're looking for, you know, actually those length balls to run it down to third man or to fine leg, because there's no fielders there, right? So the strategy essentially works from a batter standpoint. Is, you know, he has to know that, hey, this is the plan of attack that the captain has for me. And then he has to obviously, you know, come up and attack, you know, by kind of using his options that are wide open. So that's from the batter's standpoint, Adam, the strategy. And, you know, what about from the bowler standpoint? I know I discussed a little bit, but you want to take over and talk about bowler strategy and trying to get some outs or setting a guy up?
Yeah, absolutely. So from the bowling perspective, you want to be what we call bowling to your field, or picking your field where you're going to bowl. So like you mentioned, Nabil, if your plan of attack, let's say, is to bowl short to a guy, you know, let's I mentioned in the first episode, we talked about Taylor for Team USA. He actually gets out a lot to a short ball, and he came undone a lot with that ball. So what you would do in that situation is you'd have a fielder is what we call square of the wicket. So deeper, you know, adjacent to the batter, like along his, along the crease line, so that when the ball comes in short, he's going to be playing the ball, into that area. And so you would actually have no one, you'd have the players, that are down the ground, the, mid off, mid on, you'd actually have them up a little bit. And maybe you would have someone in a short mid wicket to get the ball popping up. If one comes on a little quickly, you might get a catch in there at short mid wicket. So, when you do a test cricket, basically the opening to a test cricket is when everyone is standing in what we call the slips cordon, and the bowler is bowling full length deliveries outside the off stump with the ball swinging away, and they're trying to get a catch off an edge in the slips because the ball is swinging so much. So that's why when you watch test cricket, you're going to see what we call the slips cordon outside the off stump of the outside onto, you know, the left side of the batter. And they're all waiting for a catch. They're just sitting there waiting to get a nick off the bat. And yeah, that's kind of, you know, the strategy we'll be thinking about from the bowling perspective.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And, you know, again, as Nate mentioned, you know, the captains, I'm going to bring this comment up again, are probably the most important person on that team, right? Because they have to understand, you know, so many aspects of the game itself, what's happening, what the batsman's trying to do, what his bowler strengths are, how to actually set up, you know, certain batsmen. So you have to know the analytics. You have to, you know, do a lot of extra homework to make the proper decisions under pressure crunch situations in cricket, right? And in baseball, again, the players are tasked to go out there and play and perform their skill and not really take on any of the other headache, right? In cricket, the players have to take that headache. They have to decide, you know, what that lineup could look like during a match, or what changes potentially. Should I, you know, change my lineup from my number four hitter to maybe pulling him down or sending somebody else? So there's so many things going on during a cricket match where a captain is essentially in charge of taking all those decisions in addition to his own performance. And he has to perform on top of that. If he's a batter, he has to go out there and score the runs. If he's a bowler, he has to, you know, take wickets. If he's both, then he has to do both. Or if he's a wicket keeper batter, you know, then he has to do that performance top notch. So again, being a captain is, again, probably the top most important thing in cricket, is having a good captain on a team. Do you agree there, Adam?
Absolutely. And generally, you know, the way that I played it is that the keeper is generally going to work with the captain, because they're going to see it from two different perspectives. Generally, the captain is going to be up at the bowler's end, being in the bowler's ear, you know, moving the field around from that area, that side of the wicket, where the keeper is seeing it from the opposite end of the field. And they may have some input on where the field needs to be, just from their perspective, or what they can see from their end. And generally, you see them working together, you know, to make the field exactly where it needs to be, because the keeper will set the slips caught in, because they're to his right, and the keeper needs to have the first slip and second slip in a position that's not too close to him or not too far away from him, because he's going to want to dive to an edge that's to his right. Or if it's, let's say, a left armer, he's going to want maybe that first slip to be a little wider than he normally is, because the angle where the ball's going to be coming from would go a little more to the right of the keeper in the first slip. So, the keeper and the captain are setting the field and moving things, making changes, and that's what makes cricket amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, and in baseball, I mean, you have to run really hard to get one run, right? And in cricket, it's like, yeah, I'll jog for one, or just stand here and let it fly kind of deal, you know? So
one thing about that is, when you give a American a cricket bat and you tell them to run, they drop the bat.
Oh yeah, they do.
Because it's intuitive of baseball, where they throw the bat, and I'm like, no, keep the bat. You got to hold on to the bat, okay? It's cricket. You keep the bat the whole time.
Yeah, shout out to my friend Mike Capo. Right, we play a bunch of racquetball. We've been friends for a long time. I taught him how to play cricket. You know, brought him out to the club, and he played 2-3 games. He's a nasty softball player. You know, averages like 700 or something in softball, right? So the guy's a great hitter, and he came and he scored some runs, hit the ball out of the park, where every time he would hit the ball, he would drop the bat and run to first base. So he'd be running towards point instead of running towards the umpire. Goodness. So it was just hysterical, man.
Oh man, that's crazy.
Oh god. But yeah, wow. Guys, so you know, we've gone over these four sections. You know, one thing we're gonna discuss also is the duration, right? So we've gone over a little bit of the strategy, very basic, guys. You know, drop your questions into the comments. You know, if you have any questions regarding the field and equipment, innings and outs, runs and scoring, and strategy and duration, that's what we're discussing today. And next week we're gonna be discussing fast bowling, so essentially pitchers versus fast bowlers. So that's something of a teaser for you guys to look out for next week. From the Cricket Weekly here. And duration of the matches. You know, we've discussed a little bit the formats, test cricket and ODI. You want to go over that a little bit, Adam?
Before we kind of get into the Q&A. Yeah, the test cricket is the 5-day game, the one that you hear about, you know, when you talk to Americans. Isn't cricket in that fight go for 5 days? Yeah, it does go for 5 days. But you want to think of it like the World Series game. But you play a World Series game, it's 9 games against the same team. You know, you're playing 9 different 9-inning matches. It's 9, is it 9 or 7? No, it's 7.
It's 7.
Yeah. Sorry, 9 innings. Sorry, it's 7 9 innings matches. And then where cricket test match is 5 days of matches.
Yeah, so it's 180
against the same team. Yeah, against
90 over the day.
Yeah, so it's this similar to the World Series games, when you're just committed to watching the same teams play for 5 days in a row. And then the ODIs, or the one-day internationals, that's 50 overs. That's a longer, like, 8-hour game. And generally, these are actually played what we call day-night games. So generally, half the game will be played during the afternoon, and the other half of the game will be played at nighttime. We call that, you hit the term, day-night game. Whereas test match cricket is specifically not during the nighttime. It's only during the day, generally between like 9 or 10 till 4 or 5 in the afternoon. And you have lunch, and you have tea, and you have the stumps. They actually stop for lunch. So something that you may not know about cricket when you get into about like the duration and how the game is actually structured. In the middle of a test match, both sides stop and eat lunch together. Yeah. Lunch. Yeah, we actually just sit down and have lunch.
Yeah.
And then tea.
And then we
have a tea break where you sit down and have a cup of tea.
With biscuits.
So this is obviously from the English days. Like, this is an English game.
Yeah.
Which is why America doesn't play it, because they had their revolution. They're like, you know, we don't want to do this cricket no more. We want to play baseball instead. But, you know, you sit down and play and eat lunch together. And, you know, that's one of the things about cricket is like, it's the camaraderie there between both teams.
Yeah.
You know, it's sharing, like even locally, you know, the local team makes a meal and both the opposing side comes and eats. And we eat together and sharing water and sharing this. And you know, it's about the community. It's about the cricket game itself. You know, we're happy to have an opposition that we can play against. We're grateful that there's an actual 11 players that we can play against. So we're happy to just be able to have a game. So yeah, that's a really awesome thing about cricket is how they eat together. And then the final format is the T20 cricket, which is one that happened for the World Cup and what happens in the MLC. And that's just 120 pitches from each team. And that's a more quicker form of the game. And it's kind of cricket's answer to the notion around cricket being boring or too long, is they made the shorter form of the game to make it like baseball in the same time frame. You can bring your family to the game. You can watch the game. It's kind of over and done in the same time as baseball is. You're not committed to being at a stadium for 8 hours, which is a big commitment if you go to an ODI or if you go to a test match, you're there all day. So that's the newer form of the game. And this is actually a good way to probably end this is T20 cricket's actually going to be in the Olympics for 2028 in LA, which is awesome. The Olympics has finished in Paris, and LA is the next destination for the Olympics, and we're actually getting T20 cricket. How good is that?
Yeah, it's going to be awesome, man. We're looking forward, to all the great things that are going to be here, you know, because cricket, obviously, you know, I don't know if people know this, but first international game of cricket was played right here in the U.S., you know, back in 1800s, our founding fathers of this country played cricket, right? So baseball came way after. So, you know, we want to go back to maybe our roots again and, dominate on the cricket world and teach America how to play cricket, you know, because that's why Adam and I are here, trying to get you guys to learn and understand cricket, because we've, you know, drifted far away, guys. We've drifted far away. So time to get back to the roots and get back to understanding cricket, man. So that's all we have from here so far. We want to do a quick Q&A from you guys. You know, if you guys have any questions, we'll give it a couple minutes. Any questions, drop them in the comments, and we'll answer any questions you guys have. And for next week, as I mentioned, Adam and I will be doing fast bowling versus, or fast and spin bowling versus pitching. So we're gonna get into more depth about just how the dynamics work for a faster bowler and the strategies and the techniques as opposed to a baseball pitcher. So stay tuned for that. We're going to be dropping more short form content on the Reverse Scoop TikTok and on Adam's TikTok. So, make sure to give us a follow across the board there. And also check us out on the reversescoop.com and the membership tiers as well. If you guys want to collaborate with Adam and I, if you want to join us for a podcast episode and for a session, you guys can do that. You guys can go become a member of our, membership section on the YouTube. You guys will see it. So check those out. And if you guys want to collab with us, feel free to reach out to us and drop some questions if you guys have. So Adam, you got anything?
Comments coming in on the TikTok. Brian says, been getting into the 100 format with the current league in the UK.
Nice.
Thanks, Brian, for that. Yes, the 100. We got to see Rashid Khan got smashed for 5 sixes in a row.
Saw that. That was crazy.
It was just pure muscle. Like, no, I don't think any
Ball
of those
still
shots
got it, man. Yeah.
I don't think any of those shots were actual cricket shots. I think it was just like pure smashed him.
Paul R still got power, man.
Let's go, Pat. Another comment here. Better they use cricket field in 2028 rather than the baseball field, as one sport is set in Oklahoma. Looks like they might have a cricket. Looks like the comments are saying there might be a cricket pitch setting up in Oklahoma. I would be shocked if they weren't going to put the cricket in Dallas, considering they already have Grand Prairie Stadium there in Dallas, and they're LA being the host nation. LA and Texas aren't that far away from each other, considering, you know, they had to have the swimming for the Olympics over in Tahiti, which was 10,000 miles away. So, yeah, hopefully by 2028, we have a few more cricket stadiums in the U.S. We have at least six major stadiums to host the six major cricket leagues, league teams.
Yeah, I think the stadiums, you know, just about investment, you know, a little more investment, a couple more stadiums here and there. I mean, the New York stadium they took down, which was kind of I don't know why, but, you know, that $30 million, $35 million, whatever they spent on that, you know, seemed like it went down the drain. But because now the infrastructure is still there. But, you know, again, they could have left that whole thing up if they wanted, really, you know, for the betterment of cricket in this area and for the growth itself. But I'm sure there'll be a lot of, you know, good things coming up from, you know, from that side of things. So, if you guys don't have any questions, I think Adam and I are going to call it for tonight. It's been an amazing, amazing conversation tonight. Make sure to check us out across the board. Again, you know, you guys will find us on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. So make sure to smash, you know, that subscribe button. Help us get to 20K subs. And don't forget to check out the Reverse Scoop Shop and our membership section. And don't forget to check out Adam's TikTok and you know, more content on those things. So Adam, anything else, man, before we call it off?
That's it. It's been a great, great night. We'll see you guys next week for Cricket Weekly.
Cricket Weekly next week. Join us. Adam and Nabil from the Reverse Scoop signing off.